Our lesson today from the book of Genesis tells the story of humanity's drift away from God. It's a story of Adam and Eve, and it explains God's constant desire for relationship, for communion with humanity, and how we keep drifting away from God. The story offers an explanation for a sin, alienation, even the death that afflicts humanity. Genesis tells us how the first humans, Adam and Eve, dwell in the Garden of Eden, a place of harmony, of union. The first humans are in right relationship with God, with themselves, with one another, in fact, with the whole of creation. Adam tills the soil, keeping the garden, and God has given them many trees from which they may eat. And there's no sin or death in this garden. There is no sorrow, no alienation. God tells them while they may eat of any of this abundance of fruit in the garden, there is, however, one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God tells them not to touch it. Do not eat it. If they do, they will die. Now, I don't know about you, but I know when told, do not do that, it is the very thing I want to and may very well do. We humans seem to be drawn to that which is forbidden. The very thing that we can't have, and we actually talked about this at discussion group this morning, the very thing that we can't have suddenly occupies our attention and we want it. So that wily serpent has no trouble at all tempting Eve. Tempting Eve to eat that forbidden fruit, assuring her that, well, actually, if you eat it, you will be like God. So she eats, she gives the fruit to the man who also eats, and in that action, their lives are forever changed. Suddenly, they know things they didn't know before. They know they are naked. And so they hide themselves. For the first time, they experience shame. The harmony, the communion that they shared, that they knew in that garden, is ended. And now they live as individuals, alienated from one another, from God. I mean, in fact, they hide from God in their shame. Thanks be to God for our Lenten program this year. We are going to try for the second time. We tried this back in Lent 2020 and the pandemic shut us down. We're going to try for the second time to read Brian Bantam's book, The Death of Race, Building a New Christian Community in a Racial World. As I say, we started this once, we got a couple weeks and had to stop, so here we try again. I say this because Brian Bantam's book beautifully weaves the account of Adam and Eve throughout. He is able to connect what happens to them in the Garden of Eden, with the racial oppression, with the racist systems that are in place in our world today. Bantam sees Adam and Eve as unable to rest in their relationship with God. They want more. They seek something beyond what they have been given. He writes, and I quote, "But in our freedom, we, Eve and Adam, did not rest in this relationship. We did not enjoy the trees given to us. Much has been made of Adam's and Eve's first bite of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, of whether Eve or Adam was truly at fault. But in this tragic moment, they both sought something beyond what they had been given. In the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they both saw an unlimited life." Unquote. They had everything they could imagine, but they sought something more. What they thought would be good for them. And that turned out to be a horrible mistake. They did not have the capacity at that time for what they received in eating that fruit. And as a result, the relationship that they had with God, with each other, with themselves, with creation, is destroyed. There's a warning in this because we are inheritors of this. Like Adam and Eve, we too are restless. We have so much, and yet we long for what we do not have. We are beset by temptations, temptations that lead us away from intimacy with God. And the thing is, God respects the free will that God has given us. God even allows us to completely turn away from God while God waits for our return, while God longs to be in relationship with us. I was struck in our psalm this morning because it expresses this, where it says, "Do not be like horse and mule, which have no understanding, who must be fitted with bit and bridle, or else they will not stay near you." God does not fit us with bit and bridle, but leaves it to us to choose relationship with God. And so, here we are this day, beginning Lent. Lent is a time where we can create space, where we can be in touch with the temptations, the impulses, those deep-seated desires that draw us away from God. In this season, we're called to pay attention to the times, the ways that we desire more than we have, when we strive for what is not available to us. This is a season to come face to face with our temptations, with our impulses. And we hear an example of this in our gospel, where Jesus is fasting in the wilderness before he begins his public ministry. Matthew tells us how the Spirit leads him out into the wilderness just after his baptism, when the voice of God declares Jesus God's beloved. In the wilderness, Jesus wrestles with his call. What does it mean to be the beloved? And Jesus comes to understand his vocation and ministry and discerns what it is that he is called to do as God's chosen son. In the wilderness, Jesus fasts for 40 days and 40 nights, and so it's not going to be an understatement that he is famished. And it's at that moment, in that weakness of hunger, of being famished, that the devil comes to him to test him. Now, and we also talked about this in discussion group this morning, whether or not we believe in a literal devil who comes in bodily form, something happened to Jesus. I think all of us would agree, however we understand this passage or the idea of a devil, of Satan, all of us would agree that temptation is real, that evil is at work in the world, that we all at times experience temptations. Maybe we even hear a voice telling us to do what we do not want to do, tempting us to do that very thing we know we should not do. However Jesus experiences it, it is clear that he knew temptation. And his temptations are not different from ours. They are part of the human condition. It's interesting how the devil in Matthew's account greets Jesus saying, "If you are the Son of God." There's a taunt for you. It's a direct challenge of Jesus' understanding of his vocation and identity. And then Satan places before Jesus these temptations, all of which involve shirking this time of fasting and discernment, are all about using his power to act outside God's purposes, to put Jesus, his cravings, himself, before his identity and call as the beloved Son of God. So Jesus is being tempted to act for his own benefit, to create something he doesn't have. And they come at a weak time, as I say, when he's been fasting and susceptible to these temptations. But Jesus does not give in to them. He is faithful to his call and resists the temptation. And so it is that Jesus is Jesus' fast is the model for our Lenten journey, Like Jesus, we're called into the wilderness of this season to wrestle with our own identity, with the reality of our lives. This is the time to ask, who are we called to be? How are we responding to God's love? What is the state of our spiritual lives this Lent? And how can we more faithfully live in response to God's faithful love? One of the practices we are called to in this season of Lent is to fast, like Jesus. To deny ourselves something for a period of time. It might be an hour, it might be a day, it might be the whole season. Something that is an impediment to our relationship with God. Fasting is not easy, and certainly I don't think it's popular in our world where there's so much abundance. And yet fasting is an ancient practice of the church, especially in Lent. What's behind that is Jesus is calling us out into the wilderness to learn about ourselves. Jesus wants to lead us into new, even wild places. Places where we can shake off the routine and the blindness that gets induced by going through life automatically. Jesus wants to lead us into a new experience where our eyes are open to God in new ways. Now, there's no doubt about it, we will be tempted at times not to go into the wilderness. We may even at times be tempted to turn away from God. Jesus knows this. He understands firsthand the power of temptation. He knows this because he experienced it. And so Jesus knows that resisting temptation goes against our impulses, what we desire. But Jesus also knows by the power of the Holy Spirit, he resisted temptation, and so can we. Jesus offers us the strength we need in this season. But there's another side to this. I think sometimes we may feel if we give up on any of our disciplines for Lent, we have failed. I know I've thought that. Oh, I'm a failure at Lent. It's over. But I don't think that's true. I think when we give in to our temptations, when we feel like we're failing at Lent, there is much to be learned in that experience. We can learn a lot about our spiritual hunger, about our need for God. We can learn about our weakness and frailty and be reminded of our deep need for communion with God who sustains us. We can have a new awareness of the ways we drift away, that we turn our back on God. And so what might at first seem like a failure and we may be tempted to give up on Lent altogether can actually become an important lesson for us in this Lenten season. In all this, I think what is certain is that if we faithfully follow Jesus out into the wilderness in these 40 days, our lives will be changed. We will understand ourselves better, and we will understand our need for God more fully. Our relationship with God will grow and deepen, as will our relationship with ourselves, our neighbor, and with creation. And so my hope and my prayer is that these days of Lent help us to reorient our lives to God so that we are changed in this season and that we will come to experience the deep joy of Easter, which is itself that foretaste of the abundant life of eternity that God desires so deeply to share with us. Amen.